Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Tuesday morning, talking some college football and some Tennessee Vols. And to help us do that, we head to our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our friend Ben McKee to the program from GoVols 24/7. Ben, good morning. How we doing?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are y'all?
Awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning. So, obviously, big news yesterday, Ben. Faison Brandon named the starting quarterback for Tennessee for week one by Josh Heupel. Not a huge surprise for people who have been following the QB competition, but what was your reaction to that and the timing of it from Josh Heupel now a couple weeks out?
Yeah, I think the timing of it is what really stands out, that Josh Heupel was willing to go ahead and pull the trigger. And that also wasn't too surprising. It wasn't surprising that Faison ended up winning the job. And then it wasn't surprising to me, at least, that Faison was already named going into this mock game week that Tennessee is going to go through this week. But I didn't think that Josh Heupel really had a choice, because I thought it was that obvious that Faison should be the guy. George got off to a strong start in camp after a disappointing spring. Kudos to him for going to work this summer and bouncing back from a poor spring. But in every major test in the spring, the summer, the fall, but especially the scrimmages in the spring and the summer, or excuse me, the spring and the fall, Faison was just the better quarterback. And I think the writing was very much on the wall. I think the teammates were very aware of who the quarterback was going to be. It is Furman week one, not Georgia Tech. So I know there's the old adage of wanting to maybe have Georgia Tech prepare for two quarterbacks, but Faison and George have similar, to an extent, skill sets. So I don't know that would have really been a benefit to hold off for that reason. And plus, the moment Faison would have gone out there and taken the first snap, if both quarterbacks were going to play or whatever, I think Georgia Tech would have immediately began to prepare for Faison, because I think it was that obvious, even outside of Knoxville. So three things in my mind is why Faison won the job. A, the work ethic of Faison. He did not go home. He lived in the facility. He saw an opportunity once Joey Aguilar had his injunction denied in February. Faison saw that he had an opportunity to start as a true freshman and practically moved into the facility once that happened and went to work. And his work ethic really separated him, in my opinion. And then he took care of the football in scrimmages. And that's something that George struggled with the last two Saturdays. And obviously the quarterback needs to protect the football, and Faison did that better. And then Faison had a little more to give athletically and scrambling when in the backfield. He's not going to be Lamar Jackson, like one of his teammates called him yesterday during a media availability when asked how hard it is to tackle Faison. But and George can make plays with his legs as well. I think George kind of gets a bad rap because he's a little skinny for a 6'6 quarterback. That he can't make plays with his legs. He can make plays with his legs, and he's very athletic. But Faison's just a little bit better in that department. And that's kind of the story of the competition, is that Faison was just, in parts, a little bit better, other parts a lot better, and basically every way you sliced it when assessing the two.
So what's a fair expectation, Ben? I think Faison's the first true freshman who's going to start an opener since Ken Seals for Vandy in 2020. I believe that's right. But obviously it doesn't happen often. It's not ideal. Ideally, you have a Nico year. You have a C.J. Stroud year at Ohio State, Bryce Young, whatever. You're putting a lot on a true freshman. We know Josh Heupel does really good things with quarterbacks. What's realistic in terms of, what to expect from him? And also, how do you think this offense will shape around him?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think the ceiling is those guys that you mentioned. I'm like, he is capable of being Trevor Lawrence as a freshman. And I know that kind of sounds crazy, but he has that level of potential. His high school coach and people around him, people at Tennessee, believe he has the moxie to handle being the starting quarterback at the University of Tennessee in the SEC as a true freshman, as somebody that's only 18 years old. So the potential to be or produce one of those prolific freshman seasons at quarterback, like you mentioned, it's in there. It's just, are the pieces around him going to be there as well? Because I don't know that he's going to be able to do it single-handedly. I mean, even those guys that you mentioned, none of them did it single-handedly. They were in great situations, and I think Faison's going to be in a pretty good situation, but can the offensive line step up and be better than it was last year? You're going to have a strong running game. You're going to have great receivers to throw to, but can that offensive line step up and take a step forward and be better than it was the last 2 years? If that's the case, then this is a team that can absolutely make the playoffs. So that is the ceiling and something for Tennessee fans to realistically dream about. But the expectation, I think, is a little bit different and probably more 8 or 9 wins because you do have a revamped defense that has talent but not a lot of depth because that talent is young and inexperienced. So if the defense can take the step forward that fans are hoping with the change with Jim Knowles, and I think Derek Owens, the new strength coach, is going to have a profound effect. He already has, but I think it's going to result in a couple more wins in the win column for Tennessee. I think he's that good and has changed this program so much. But there is still the uncertainty of how much of a step forward the defense will take and offensive line of scrimmage. So I think 8-9 wins, because they're still young in some spots, is probably a more realistic expectation. But if it all clicks, it's certainly possible of replicating the 2024 season where Nico was able to lead Tennessee to the playoffs. The only big difference is that this schedule is much harder than the one that 2024 team played.
Yeah, no doubt about that. So, like, Ben, you mentioned the cast around him. I think Heupel clearly feels good about the running games, the running game, the running backs. I mean, he talked about that yesterday. I think there's some excitement for what this offensive line could be. You know, last year it kind of felt in some ways like they rediscovered their downfield passing game. And, you know, some of that is, you know, Aguilar coming in, being as experienced as he was. They changed up their offense a little bit. And you've got really good skill position players in Staley and Matthews, and we'll see kind of who that third receiver ends up being. With a true freshman quarterback, and from what you know about Faison Brandon, you know, how equipped do you think this offense is going to be to push the ball down the field?
I think they're going to be well-equipped. Of course, I'm sure they'll take their lumps because it is a true freshman quarterback, but that was one of the things that stood out in the first scrimmage, not this past Saturday, but the scrimmage before, so about a week and a half ago. Faison was able to make plays with his arm down the field and had multiple completions down the field to different guys, and would have had more if not for a couple of drops. And he was able to hit different receivers. It wasn't just Mike Matthews that he was getting the ball to, or just Braylon Staley. It was Joakim Dotson. It was Ian Duarte, who's probably not going to play a bunch, but is a transfer from Idaho State. He was able to find multiple guys down the field. And he throws a pretty football. And my coworkers and Ryan Callahan and Patrick Brown, they were talking on our podcast last night that they were both in attendance for the camp when Tennessee had Faison Brandon, Jared Curtis, George McIntyre, and others inside Neyland on the same night. And from that moment, and we discussed it here in Knoxville, even at the time before Faison Brandon became the recruit that he became, that Faison just threw an absolutely beauty of a deep ball. And so I certainly think that they're going to be able to push the football down the field. And on that night in Neyland, he by far had the best deep ball. And there's been no reason to think otherwise since. And some of the routes on air, and I know it's routes on air, and we get to see like 2 minutes of practice, but I mean, the routes on air deep balls that we saw in practice earlier this month, I mean, he just places it perfectly, just drops it in the bucket, as we like to say here in the South. It's just a beautiful ball that he throws, and that is translated to 11-on-11 scenarios in practice, scrimmage settings. Had a nice completion to Mike Matthews in this past weekend scrimmage down the field. It was called back because of a penalty along the line of scrimmage, but the deep ball should certainly be there for Tennessee this season.
Yeah, so Ben, I feel like you said, I mean, it's pretty good support around him. It feels like there's a lot that sets him up for success. Receivers who have produced, terrific backs, you know, the offensive line, there's a lot of promise and talent there. You mentioned the defense. you know, Nico, if we want to go back to Nico's year as a starter, like that was his best friend, you know, was that defense, and that led the way, and there was less pressure on him as a result. This defense, considering, you know, the Chas Coleman thing and everything, and now Farouk's hurt, where do you think they are just in terms of talent compared to recent versions? Do they have enough up front, and how much of a difference does Jim Knowles make?
I think they're in a decent spot and probably even a little bit better than that. But I am approaching the season in a believe it when I see it mode and taking a very cautious approach. They're going to have to prove it to me first. But one of the talking points with my coworkers this week has been, you look at the starting 11 and you feel pretty good. And you even start to look at the 12th through the 15th guy, and it's a good-looking group. It's just there's a pretty quick drop-off between who's going to be the first guys on the field and who's going to be backing them up. And it's not for a lack of talent. They have talent, like I mentioned earlier. It's just a lot of inexperienced and young talent, a lot of freshmen, a lot of guys who are in their second year in the program who didn't play a bunch last year. So it's not a talent problem. It's an experience problem. It's a depth problem. But you look at that starting 11, and it's pretty dang good, or at least has the potential to be. Maybe Georgia Tech and Texas next month will prove me wrong in saying that. But I think Tennessee feels pretty good about that starting 11. Now it's just about finding depth, particularly up front along the defensive line. You probably have five or six guys that you trust, but Rodney Gardner's been playing 10 to 12 guys throughout his tenure at Tennessee, and he needs some of those young guys to come along quickly. They need to establish more depth in the secondary. The depth was looking really good at safety, and then Edrys Farouk suffers a season-ending injury, so they're going to have to search and develop to reestablish that depth. So I think Tennessee fans should feel good about the defense, but maybe be cautious about it. Because although I feel good about it going into the season, there are still some questions. Like you mentioned, who steps up at edge rusher after the Chas Coleman situation. It does sound like Jordan Norman, the transfer from Tulane, has had a good camp and a good offseason. But beyond him, it gets young very quick. So they do have some talented edge rushers. They're just very young and true freshmen. So I think they're going to have to get creative and move the Jeremiah Tealanders of the world around, Tyree Weathersby, Edwin Spillman, Arion Carter. Jim Knowles is going to have to get really creative to generate a pass rush. And if he can do that, then this defense should have a pretty good year.
Well, Ben, we're excited. Only a couple of weeks away from getting it rolling here. Appreciate you taking time to be with us this morning, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Y'all have a great week.
Absolutely. You as well. Ben Thanks, McKee, Ben. Our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. We'll react to what Ben had to say. Faison Brandon, the starting quarterback for Tennessee. What are fair expectations for him? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. This Friday, come hang out with us at T-Line in West Nashville as we celebrate 102.5 The Game's 15th birthday. Also, we have gifts that will be given away for every hour, starting at 6 o'clock. Preds tickets, Vandy tickets, concert tickets, and more. Stop by T-Line as well and get signed up for a chance to win Nashville Predators season tickets. For more information, visit thegamenashville.com/birthday. Looking forward to that coming up on Friday. I appreciate Ben McKee for being with us in the last segment. Faison Brandon named the starting quarterback yesterday. Pete Thamel had that news yesterday morning on the show, Joe. So some actual breaking news during our program, which doesn't happen very often. Heupel had his press conference later. And broke the news, I guess, locally to the media there. Went through some of the reasoning for the decision, the timing of it, all those things. Did point out that he's the starter for week one, Joe. So did not go the whole season. He's the week one starter. Said that several times against Furman. So
that's a fair point to make. You gotta go out there and perform. By the way, small technicality, but I think CeeLo, I think on three got it first. I think they beat Thamel.
Yeah. Okay, there you go.
Sorry, Thamel.
Be faster.
Have some, Thamel.
Have some of that, Thamel. Okay, so Chris Lowe reporting it first, that Faison Brandon, the starting quarterback. Joe, I think the million-dollar question is now, what are fair expectations for him? What should we expect about a true freshman taking over the starting quarterback position for Tennessee? Ben McKee was with us. We know the talent. There's a lot of it when it comes to Faison Brandon. We know the schedule. It's a challenging one for Tennessee. There's going to be several tests that you look at this year that you say, whew, you got Texas and Alabama and non-conference game with Georgia Tech and LSU later in the year. I mean, there's a lot happening on the schedule this year. What do you make of what fair expectations look like for Faison Brandon entering this year as a true freshman starter in the SEC?
Well, look, I'm not going to lie. Ben got me fired up, man. Ben got me fired up. Then, of course, he had a Vanderbilt fan on the text line getting fired up the other way at all the, you know. I guess you put Brandon in the Hall of Fame right now then. But clearly a lot of talent. And I do love to hear, you know, it's funny because we talk about Cam Ward, right? And it's like, first one in the building. And it's like, okay, great. But I do love to hear that that Faison Brandon lived in the facility. I mean, it matters. It matters. You know, usually when that stuff is talked about, it's one of two extremes. It's either you're that, you're living in the building and people want to talk about it, or, you know, you're Vince Young and you're at Cheesecake Factory at 4 p.m. Oh, sorry, TGI Fridays.
I think you frequented both.
Yeah, but it's one of the two extremes, right? So I love hearing that. And he's talking about the deep ball, and obviously in this offense, yeah, this offense has changed some, but the deep choice was always going to be a part of it. And he's got guys who can go get it. And if he's got that touch on the deep ball, that's you love to hear that. I still look at just the overall team and just realistically, a true freshman in this league, there's going to be a strip sack. There's going to be a death pick six. They're like, you just have to.
Yeah.
Assume there's going to be some rough moments. There's going to be some ups and downs. So I kind of look at this like 8 wins. You know, if they get to 9 with that schedule, I think a 9-3 team, so much to figure out sport wide, but a 9-3 team with that schedule, I think is a team that we're talking about on Selection Sunday. So if you can get to that, that's awfully good. But it's going to be exciting. I mean, from play one, it's going to be exciting to watch him play and to watch him develop this year. And again, if it's looking like you're on a good trajectory, even if the wins and losses don't work out like you like, and it's a step back year, if you're feeling good about him, then I think the conversation around Heupel is different. I don't think he's on a hot seat if they go 7-5 and Brandon looks sweet and looks like he's going to be a stud next year.
I'm interested to see early the way Heupel handles it in terms of play calling. Like when they're playing Georgia Tech, I mean, Furman is what it is, right? I mean, I think they could probably call whatever they wanted to call against Furman. It will work out fine. Georgia Tech, I'm interested to see, like, does early into the year, do they just really lean into the running game? I mean, we know this team's going to run the ball a lot anyway. Like, you know, that's always kind of a common misconception about Heupel. Like, they run the ball very effectively, and you know, he said yesterday that this is probably the best running back room that they've had. I don't know if it's the best individual running back player that they've had in Deshaun Bishop. You know, Dylan Sampson was pretty darn good, but they've gone out of their way to talk about the entire running back room so far this year. So I mean, you're going to see different guys. Bishop's going to be the lead back, but you're going to see different guys in there. I wonder earlier in the year how much they just lean into that running game and kind of that quick passing game with Staley across the middle and, you know, the bubble screens to Matthews and all those things. You know, eventually, when you start playing Texas, who knows? In the Georgia Tech game, you may need your quarterback to make a couple of huge plays if you're going to win that game. But I am interested to see how Heupel kind of eases him into this, or if he does ease him into this, or if he's that confident that he's just ready to go right from the jump.
Yeah. You know, it's like how much you use the middle of the field. That was the Nico. And really, actually, the Milton here, too, is like, man, do they just totally fear him, like throwing picks in the middle of the field? And, you know, you're working the edges. You're working the short stuff. You're working the edges. You're working the deep choice bombs. So I think we'll probably see a lot of that. Like you said, you know, you got a heck of a tight end, too. You got a tight end who's going to play on Sundays. I mean, you've got a lot of different weapons, and just play point guard, get it out quickly, and then certainly you're going to take some of those shots. Those shots are usually pretty low risk, you know, the way that you spread defenses out. You're going to run the ball well, And man, if he thinks this is the best running back room, woo, wait till a year from now. I mean, I hate to be Mr. like Carnival Barker, but like I'm already ready for DGG to play college football.
I think DGG might be able to play NFL football right now. But, yeah.
I think so, too.
It's unbelievable watching him play. Yeah, it's gonna be fun to watch. Like, there's a lot on the offensive side of the ball that I think you feel good around the quarterback. I think being a true freshman quarterback and getting yourself at a spot at the end of the year where you're actually a contender to be in the college football playoff, first off, if it plays out that way, well, then you could forget the Josh Heupel hot seat stuff. I mean, people will be over the moon excited about Brandon at that point if it plays out that way. Secondly, I just think that's a lot to ask from a true freshman, right? I mean, I get it. There's more around him that I think you should that should help him. The talent on the roster is good, but you know, it's a lot to ask a true freshman quarterback to get your team to the position with this schedule where you're like 9-3, 10-2 competing for a playoff spot. That's a tall task in my mind, Joe.
It is. It is. What if on the defensive side of the ball, you know, there's the D coordinator change plus a few guys really emerge and all of a sudden it's like, man, that's actually, and Garner is just a miracle worker, and every year they're going to have a good D-line no matter what. Yep. I mean, you can talk yourself into it. This is the time to talk yourself into it.
It's talking season.
That's right.
Talking season. 615-737-1025. We move from one high-profile freshman quarterback to another one in this state. Rex Road's got some takes on Vanderbilt. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Keep up with training camp with 102.5 The Game for your latest updates, player interviews, and more as you get prepped for the upcoming football season. Coverage of training camp presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parma Tractor and Equipment, Nelson's Greenbrier Distillery, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. We'll have the Rex Rant coming up here at 7:45. Taking your thoughts at 615-737-1025. Joe, you were out at Vanderbilt's scrimmage on Saturday and walked away with some opinions based on what you saw. Number one, what did you think of the scrimmage, and what do you make of where things stand on the quarterback front with Vanderbilt?
Yeah, so I don't know. This is one of those interesting things where it's like, why does this happen when I'm here, you know? Because we've had Gentry on, and he was almost like incredulous that there'd be a quarterback competition at this point, right? Like, it's just like, clearly, like, Jared Curtis should be the quarterback. Heard other people say that. People who are there on a daily basis, I would say definitely I don't want to speak for everybody, but I think for the most part, like it's at least a lean toward, you know, you should probably start the freshman. One spring practice, the spring game, and this scrimmage, Blaze Berlowitz has played really well when I've been there. So I have to take that. I can only go with what I've seen. From what I've seen, it's really close. Now, really close in terms of right at this moment, you know, it's like if you're even, you're leaving type thing, right? Like, I mean, I think at some point this year, Jared Curtis will be the quarterback. I'm not totally convinced that Jared Curtis starts the opener. So maybe that's too much bias from my own two eyes. But again, I watched this scrimmage, and for a lot of it, Blaze Berlowitz was actually outplaying him quite a bit. And Blaze Berlowitz has been getting every one, like when they come out with ones, Blaze gets that first snap. So it's not like this has been back and forth. He's been getting the ones reps. And then Curtis with the twos. Now, Curtis struggled a lot. Then he had a great drive. And then Berlowitz threw a bad pick. And this is the thing with this quarterback competition. And this is, again, also leaning on people like Aria Gerson and Joey Dwyer and people who, you know, are there on a daily basis. It seems like Berlowitz is just, he just has these risks sometimes where you're just throwing the ball up. And it's like, if you're winning that job as that guy, you are the safe guy, right? You have got to be the safe guy. You got to be the game manager who doesn't turn the ball over. And again, I think they can do some of the run stuff, little options, tricky stuff with that offense a little better with him. You can't throw a pick. So that's another thing that's like, when he threw that, I was like, man, see, that might be the thing, is that Curtis, like, you know, because Curtis will too. He's a freshman. just like Faison Brand, like they're going to have freshman mistakes. We know this, but they're freshmen with high upside. So live with the mistakes as they grow. Whereas Berlowitz, you know, I mean, it's fourth year of college football, I think. And like, you can't do that, but it was close. And I think it is close, and I don't ignore where the reps are going. I also like just Curtis, you know, one, there'll be just like a, you know, like an outcut. And I hate to keep bringing up like Matthew Stafford because it's just so unfair. I'm not saying he is that as a player, but that's what it reminds me of, with his size and the ability to just laser a ball into a spot where most quarterbacks, you know, like there's a little bit of time to get the ball. Like if he has a little bit of a window, the ball can be in there like that. I mean, the arm talent is, oh man. And the athleticism is a lot better than some people might realize for someone that tall. I mean, he can really move. So overall, like, I won't be shocked if Blaze Berlowitz starts the opener. I definitely expect Jared Curtis to be the starter before too long.
What do you think it is about you that brings out the best in Blaze Berlowitz?
that's
my biggest takeaway,
man,
from this story.
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, it's got to be motivational.
Rex,
right?
Rhodes in the house. It's time to ball out here.
Wow. Look at that reporter up there. He just had a third piece of pizza in like a span of 4 minutes. I mean, if that guy can do that,
why is he elevating his feet on the desk up there? Is it gout? What's happening?
Yeah, it's a good question. If it was based on what I see, it's like, dang, Blaze Berlowitz.
All SEC?
SEC newcomer of the year. I mean, what are we talking about? He is a nice player, though, in all seriousness. Like, he's got some talent. He's not – and, again, he's been in this offense, for years. So you can't just, you can't just dismiss it, you know?
Sure.
Let's see. Oh, we got somebody talking about Pavia getting another year eligible. Well, Pavia already sued for his year. Pavia sued for his year. He got his year. His year's done. So it's too bad, by the way. Like, right now, as much as we hate the preseason, Robbie, one thing I looked forward to was Diego Pavia in some, you know, with the Ravens getting a whole half of football. So it is unfortunate to, and I am surprised. I'm surprised that he's not getting at least that much of a look from someone.
What do you think the reaction is if Berlowitz is the starter from Vanderbilt fans game one?
Well, some of them are going to completely melt down because some of them believe that he was promised the job. They believe that, you know, if you pay him as much as you're paying him, you can't possibly not start him. They believe that if he doesn't start the opener, then you can just go ahead and just fill in whatever school he's transferring to next year. He's gone. Again, if it's that tenuous, first of all, you cannot promise the job, a starting quarterback job, to a true freshman in the Southeastern Conference. And I do not at all believe that Clark Lee did that. Second of all, if him not starting right away means he's going to take his ball and go home, then I mean, maybe you're better off. I don't buy that either. Like, again, it's not hard to talk to a quarterback, a quarterback's agent, a quarterback's parents, and say, let's look around college football. Let's look at this conference. Let's look at the Big Ten, whatever you want to look. And let's look at the true freshmen who start. And let's look at all the guys in the NFL who did not start in college football as true freshmen, because it's stupid to do that unless you have to do that. I mean, it's a simple conversation to have. So I think those Vanderbilt fans are totally panicking and freaking out, and they need to calm down. But there will be a rather significant meltdown if he doesn't start the opening.
I know, there will be. And he's going to get in the first game regardless. I mean, they're playing, yeah, all due respect to Austin Peay. And remember, I'm saying with all due respect, he's going to get in the the first game, and he's going to play, and I'm sure he'll make some plays in that game where it's like, look at him. I mean, you just got to put him in. The most intriguing part of this, because I'm with you, he's going to start at some point. I'd love to know when. Like, if you're – first off, what happens if Berlowitz is playing well? Like, what do you do then if you're Clark Lee? And then, after the Delaware game, you go NC State, Auburn, Georgia, Ole Miss, Arkansas. Like, you're right into the SEC slate there. And I've said this before. Like, I don't necessarily want Jared Curtis's first start being like, oh, you play at Georgia today? Between the head? Cool. Let's go do that. Let's get as your first start. So, I don't know.
Like, welcome to football.
Yeah, the timing of it is going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out with Jared Curtis.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You could be like, hey, let's start them after the Georgia game and not even deal with that crap, because those dudes are going to be like taking shots at him. He's a true freshman. It's going to, you know, that team's a wagon. Like, you could think of it that way. Like, I mean, honestly, I mean, if I'm Clark Lee, I probably have that thought, right? Like, maybe that around after that game would be the route time. But also, if he's going to play in that game, yeah, he better have some snaps under his belt and some success in his rearview mirror to help him going into that game.
It's going to be a wild story when he marches in there and just beats him, you know?
Oh, good God.
Kirby be throwing that visor all over the place.
Oh, what a thought.
One texter
asking. It's the time to think about things like this.
It is. One texter asking how we feel about Keelan Russell winning the starting job for Bama. Very high on him.
One big thing, as a Bama beat writer put this out, is Keelan.
Okay,
it's Keelan Russell.
Keelan.
Yep. Keelan Russell. Also, I'm not surprised, and I'm excited to watch him. I'm really excited to watch him. Like, the buzz on him has been, and you know how it goes. Sometimes that stuff ends up being overrated and overblown, but no, I think that was always probably going to happen. You know, Mac is a solid player, but you know, I'm excited about it. I mean, there's the SEC, you know, one of the big reasons the SEC has been behind the Big Ten is quarterback play, right?
Yep.
In recent years, it just hasn't been good enough. Definitely exciting, because you certainly have some other guys like Chambliss is one of the best in the country. I mean, Leavitt should be great.
Manning.
I mean, obviously Manning, but also these young guys this year in the SEC should be really, really fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, they got pretty good young talent. And look, I mean, you know, Austin Mack, I think, may end up being a good player. We're probably going to end up in the transfer portal after this year. George McIntyre probably going to end up in the transfer portal after this year. Like, there could be some intriguing guys, like, outbound from the conference this year that could end up starting and playing big snaps for another program next year in college football. That's the world we live in, but interesting quarterback competitions on that front. Like, Mac is huge.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think there's a lot there. I mean, no doubt. And again, that kind of tells me that Keelan Russell, I mean, hey, this is the whole thing with DeBoer, right? Like, this is where it's supposed to be better, is that he's the quarterback guy. Look what he did with Penix. Yeah. On and on. I mean, so this is a year that needs to pay off. Texter says, not enough Vandy fans to create the heat required for a meltdown. Maybe a bottle rocket amount of heat. Oh, we got Tennessee and Vandy fans taking shots.
Sniping at each other.
It is a beautiful thing. Beautiful thing.
We haven't brought up the Ball State quarterback job. How about that?
It's true.
Did you hear about that one, Joe?
I did not.
Oh, okay. Keldrick Luster, 5'10", 250.
Yeah.
Starting quarterback.
Really?
They don't need to move around all that much. You know? Just put the ball where it needs to be.
So, like, a
right-handed Jared Lorenzen.
Yeah.
I was going to say a short Jared Lorenzen.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, I got it. Okay, I'm going to have to find this during the break.
I can't wait to watch him play. Cannot wait.
Maxion just keeps getting better.
I agree. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, the Rex Rant with Joe Rexroad, coming up next. Robbie and Rexroad, 1025 the game.
Sometimes he wakes up on the wrong side of the bed. And sometimes he's just, well, Joe.
Awkward moment, let's do it.
This is the Rex Rant, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Like, you want people to not, well, murder each other.
I know a guy that went to law school in the Caribbean.
Brian, did you know that when the receiver's elbow's down in bounds, that's a catch?
Do you know your elbow from your ass?
Whose head, whose ass are you? Is your head up then?
Love ball, love ball, love ball.
I could see Joe Milton a year from now being a lock first rounder. I really could.
Of course he is. It's like Joe Milton.
Don't spend an early first on Milrow. Trade it for Milton.
Google me. I annoy.
So I'm the jerk.
There's no faux outrage. You're outraging me, mother farter. Shut up.
It is time for the Rex Rant, served by the Wine Cellar in Hendersonville. I got people on the roof at the studio hammering stuff. Feel like they're trying to come get me. I was just reminded of Rex Rhodes' Joe Milton first-rounder take. A lot of things going on. How are we doing,
Joe? Hey, you know, that Joe Milton take is aging a little bit better now. Hey. It may have been aging like, you know, like old vinegar, but now it might be a little, you know, at least a little Boone's Farm.
I saw
maybe not like really good wine, but like a Boone's Farm.
I saw a clip of Kurt Benkert yesterday, who used to be like some fourth string quarterback for the Packers, and now he does like a bunch of Madden stuff that he does online. But he was breaking down like some Joe Milton take. He was like, "Is this dude like the best backup quarterback in the NFL right now?" I was like, "Here we go, the rise of Joe Milton."
Hey man, all right, Cowboys fans, you know. First time Dak, first 3-0 for Dak. It's like, hey, bring in Bazooka Joe, man. Bazooka Joe make that throw.
He looks good in the preseason.
He does. I mean, even going back to like rookie year, like that game he played, you know, won that. I mean, he's had some. I'm not done. I'm not out on Joe.
He's the reason the Titans have Cam Ward. Like that's he right. is. He, yeah, he got him right. the first overall pick.
He made one touchdown throw the other day where he actually didn't overthrow the guy on a deep ball, and he placed it in there.
Oh, yeah. It was perfect.
He placed it perfectly.
It was perfect.
Watch out. This hold on to that audio.
Yeah.
It still seems pretty dumb right now. I'm going to hit something real fast, and this is one of those things, Rob, you guys, I don't think I'm going to say this guy's name because this entire, really since Vrabel Russini, this is just an internet troll who apparently, I don't know, is out of a job or something. And he's decided to take on this. I'm the social media sleuth, right? Mm-hmm. I had some interactions with him early in the Vrabel Russini thing where it's like, you know, again, it's like, why is the NFL not talking about this? Why are people not talking about this? And it's like, well, in the early days, because you're still trying to figure out what the hell is going on from those pictures. And also, yeah, in some cases, because some of these people are friends with Diana Russini. And yeah, again, it's like it's got to be this big, like, oh, it's an NFL conspiracy. And that's been his shtick, which is annoying. I blocked him. Like, all right, dude, just go away. Like, you're a flea on a dog's ass on social media, okay? But what he did this last weekend is disgusting. And again, I'm not naming him because like this is all that this is about is him trying to, because the thing is you do stuff like this and you will still gain a following, even if it's disgusting. That's the reality. But Ed Oliver, for people who haven't heard, lost his son in a drowning accident. It's absolutely awful. It's tragic. It is unthinkable. Like anybody who's a parent, you hear about that and I know for me, it's like, how do you go on? I mean, it's terrible. And there were people in Buffalo media who covered that team who knew about it and did not write anything about it. Because you know why? Because they're effing human beings. Like, and the thing about this loser is like, not only did he, quote unquote, break the story this last weekend, you know, and put it on the internet, he actually like, is like ripping Bills reporters for doing what was asked by Ed Oliver and his family, which is please don't put it out there about what happened to our son at this point. Obviously it was always going to come out at some point, but you know, they weren't ready for that. And you respect that as a human being, like human being does trump journalists. And let's be clear. This idiot is not a freaking journalist. He's a social media jackwagon who came across this information. I mean, Jeff Perlman put it pretty succinctly. He is a, quote, piece of bleep, end quote. That's what he is. And so we had a press conference, and Josh Allen and these guys were like, it's just, you know, really sad that it came up this way. That, and you know, it comes out along with a picture of Ed Oliver, like distraught, you know. It's absolutely like the worst of the internet. And it's just like there's a lot of things that are different than this, but I think are also the same in a way in terms of like on social media, just complete lack of humanity, right?
Yeah.
Like, so again, this is a moment where good for you for getting the hell off Twitter. I still haven't. I mean, at some point I will, and it'll be a great day, but it is the worst. It's the worst of humanity. And this guy who actually has the gall to like claim he's being a real reporter by putting this out there. And these like, dude, this happens all the time. If someone says something's off the record, first of all, then you have to respect that. Second of all, if it's something tragic like this, of course you don't cross that line. What are you talking? I mean, and this is the difference between actual people who interact with each other and have relationships and can meet on some human level and some loser thousands of miles away, you know, on social media doing this stuff. It's just, it makes me sick that this guy has gotten any sort of platform. And by the way, you know, Mike Florio is one of the people who's responsible for him having a platform. You know, Florio wants to rip him now, but Florio is like, oh, yeah, you know, this stupid Vrabel Rossini crap. So let's make sure he gets a little bit of the blame here, too. It's all very disgusting.
Well, and for, you know, the Ed Oliver, the story with his son, it's just awful. Like, it's just, it's terrible. And, you know, from a journalistic perspective, Joe, there is a difference between, you know, if somebody is covering something up, or like, you know, we even had the conversation about like the San Francisco situation with Shanahan, right? Of like did the beat writers know that he got in a car wreck, and like what happened there? Right. Like at what point is it your responsibility to report
that's
the news? This is not that. I mean, this involves the death of someone's child, right? I mean, there's got to be some level of common sense brought to these discussions as well.
Exactly. Yeah. And that, and that thing, which is another Florio, and another, this, the problem is this guy, you know, it's like, if you watch Peanuts, he's like Pigpen, you know, he comes in, he's like the smut. He's like, oh, get away from this guy. You know, I mean, but some of the stuff he's been involved in, like, that is a fair thing. It's a fair thing to point out the Niners thing and all that went down with it. It's not even, you know, or right now, I mean, no one hesitated to report about Jed York's situation.
They did not.
In the, you know, in Ohio, meeting he was trying to ascertain. But this thing is, it's just, it's incredible that anyone, I think this is a human and not like an AI bot, would not at some point stop himself and say, what am I doing? This is just to gain clout on social media. And I hope somehow this person goes away.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We will get back into the Cam Ward discussion. Take your thoughts on Cam Ward and the Titans coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.